Today's daf is Menachos daf Pei Ches. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Pei Zayin and Bei. So the previous Mishnah had gone through the Midos Shel Yavesh that they had in the Mikdash. So now this Mishnah is going to go through the Midos Shel Lach that they had in the Mikdash. That there were seven measuring kelims that had liquid measures in them. And through most of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss what the different measuring kelim were used for in the Mikdash. And then the Gemara is going to go on in the Mishnah on the bottom. The Gemara is going to discuss a number of opinions about the listing of the seven kelim. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to start to discuss what they were used for, what the function of each of these seven kelim were. Then the Gemara is going to have three different conversations relating to the function of the different kelim, where Rebbe was unaware of something, was informed of it by someone else, and he therefore praised the person who informed him of, the first two are Rebbe praising someone else, and then the third one is Rabbi Zreka praising Rabbi Yirmiyah for informing them about how something is used in the Mikdash, something that was certainly not obvious about how it was used in the Mikdash. Then we're going to have a discussion about the menorah and some of the details of the menorah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Zchus Refuah Shleima for Sarah Rivka Bas Hinda Bela. She should continue to have Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So again, let's pick up from the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf, Pei Zayin Amud Beis, and this is going to be the discussion of the kelim that were used for liquid measures. Sheva Mido Shalach Hayu B'Mikdash. There were seven measuring kelim for liquid measures in the Mikdash, and they are a hin, which is just to get our bearings in terms of ratios of things. A hin is 12 lug. So when we talk about various liquid measures, everything's going to be measured either in terms of a hin or a lug, a whole hin, a half a hin, a whole lug, half a lug. But we should just realize that whatever it is by a hin, it's 12 times a lug. So there is a full hin measuring kli, ushlish is a hin, uravi is a hin. I'm sorry, v'chati a hin, ushlish is a hin, uravi is a hin. And you also have a chati hin, a shlish hin, one third hin, uravi is a hin. And then, so those are four. And then you have log, v'chati log, uravi is log. You have a log, which is again 1/12 of a hin, a chatzi log, and a revius log. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, shnasos hayu behin. Ad kan lapar, v'ad kan la'ayil, ad kan la'keves. He says, no, there was only one kli, and that was a giant hin kli. It's just that, like a measuring cup, there would be lines on the kli that was a hin to mark the halfway mark, the third way mark, the quarter way mark, the log mark, which is the 1/12 mark, half of that, a third of that, so at the very, very bottom of the kli, some lines to mark off the log, the chatzi log, the revius halog. And that way, they knew how much they needed for each of the different karbanos. Reb Shimon Omer, lo yasham hin, v'chimayo hin mishamesh. Reb Shimon says, they didn't need a kli, a giant hin kli. There was nothing in the base of Midrash that required a full hin of shemen. So why would they have a hin kli? No, what was the seventh kli that they had if they didn't have a hin kli? They had a kli for a logu mechza, for a log and a half. The minchas kohen gadol, and they would use that for the minchas kohen gadol, which in the chavite kohen gadol, which in its entirety between what was brought in the morning and what was brought in the afternoon, was three logs. So logu mechza baboker, logu mechza bein arbaim. So they had to measure out the amount of oil that they needed for the chavite kohen gadol in the morning. The amount they needed in the afternoon was a log umechza for each, and therefore there was this seventh kli that held the log umechza. There were seven, the Braisa again enumerates the seven mido shalach that they had in the Mikdash, and they are revius log, v'chatzi log, v'log, revius ahin, ushlish sehin, v'chatzi and v'hin, div Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Meir Omer, hin, v'chatzi hin, ushlish sin, revius ahin, v'log, v'chatzi log, revius log. Now you might notice those are the exact same seven kelim, just listed in reverse order. So the Gemara is going to discuss what are they arguing about. If they're listing the exact same seven measuring kelim, they just happen to list them in reverse order. We'll get there soon. But then Rabbi Shimon Omer, a third shita, lo ayasham hin, the shita we already saw in the Mishnah, that there was no hin, v'chimah hayah hin mishamish, because after all, they didn't need a hin for anything. A hin didn't do anything in the Mikdash. As mi avi tachtov, what other midah will I mention? Will I replace the hin with? Because there has to be seven. Elamidi yaseh rishalogemechza yisasham shavayimodid the chavita koyin gadol logemechza b'voker logemechza ben arba'im. It must have been that there was this extra kli that had a logemechza for the chavita koyin gadol. So that's how he got to the number seven. So Amar lo, the Chum said to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need a separate kli called the logemechza to measure out the chavita koyin gadol. Chatzi log haisa sham. You had a measuring cup that was a chatzi log. Ve'afshar le'sha'er bechatzi log. So can't you measure out your logemechza using a chatzi log? Just use it three times, and then you'll have a logemechza. So Rabbi Shimon said back to the Chum, af le'divreichem chatzi log ve'log lo yaseh. Well, then you shouldn't even have to make a chatzi log, nor should you have to make a log, because revius haisa sham. You had a revius log that you could have used. Ve'afshar le'sha'er be'revius. So anytime you need a chatzi log, just take two revius logs. Anytime you need a full log, take four revius logs. You could always figure it out with the revius. Ela zeh klal haya b'mikdash. Kli shemashamish midazu, eina mashamish mida acheris. It must be that there was a rule in the mikdash that you're not supposed to use the same kli for different medidos. So you're not supposed to just keep repeating the revius halog in order to get to your chatzi log or in order to get to the full log. So the Mikorkos in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin says that the reason for this rule that you don't use the smaller kelim over and over again just to get the proper shiurim is that this is part of the inyan of einanius b'makom hashivus, that we don't just like we don't go cheap in terms of the materials from which we make different parts of the Mikdash and its kelim. We also don't go cheap in terms of how we use them. So we shouldn't use something in a way where it looks like we couldn't afford to have the proper kli that was needed for what we're actually using it. That would be a violation of anius b'makom hashirus. Rashi writes that according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzaddik would disagree with this klal, because according to him, the midah sehin was used for many different things. Now, what about the kasha that the Rabbi Shimon asked on the Chachamim? So Tosfos points out he asked, what do you need the hin for? You don't use it for anything. So why would they have a kli that's entirely a hin? So Tosfos writes in Dibra Maschal Af that the Chum would answer that you could be mechalik between a midas. Sorry, not about that kasha. The kasha that anyway you can repeat using even l'shitascha. You can repeat using revius halog and get to your chatzi log and your log shalem. So Tosfos points out that you could be mechalik between a midas logomechza that was only used for the minchas chavitim. So wait, you're going to make a separate measuring cup for that one thing, for the minchas chavitim, versus a chatzi log, which was used for many different things, for the sota, the toda, the menorah. So it could be that it was worthwhile making a measuring kli if it was used for multiple things. So that's the possible answer that the Chacham would have back to Rabbi Shimon. Now, Briska Rav writes that L'chore, you could ask on the kasha that Rabbi Shimon asked on the Chabim, that L'chore it's a davar bar, that there's a mitzvah to do a medida. Otherwise, you could do medida b'klei chol, and then put it into klei sharis. What do you need to do the medida in a klei sharis? Why is it that we have exact measurements? So what's Rabbi Shimon asking, that you should just do medida with a smaller kli and do it several times? That taina could say only if that you could only say such a taina only if the purpose of the medida was just to get the right amount. But once the medida is a mitzvah, it's certainly very mistaver that there are kelim that are meant specifically for that mitzvah. So the Briska Rav writes that that's what the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon disagree about, whether there was a mitzvah of a medidas lo gemechza. That Rabbi Shimon says that medida was also a mitzvah and therefore it required its own kli. Whereas the Chum were saying, no, the lo gemechza is not a mitzvah's medida. You need three log for the chavite koyin gadol. It's just that you split it, machtzis b'bok, machtzis b'in arvayim. So that splitting it, that dividing it into two units of 1.5 log each, that's not a mitzvah's medida. So mainly you could just use one of the other kelim. You don't need a kli that's miyuchad for it. So that's how the Briska Rav explains this machlokes. So now the Gemara just points out, okay, but the first two shitos that we quoted in the Brisa that listed the seven kelim, kelim, listed the exact same seven kelim, just in reverse order from each other. So ma'ika ben Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. What exactly is the difference between the sheet of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? So Amar Rav Yochanan beirutse midos ike benayu. The difference between them is the overflow of the measuring cups. Let's say you measure out oil, but oil is kind of thick, so it goes over the surface of the kli. Machlokes Rishonim, whether it means just that which goes over on top of the surface of the kli that manages to stay there, or even that which spills over on the side walls. So the Lamandi Amar Mimata Lamaila Kasavar Birutse Midas Niskachu. If you're going to list the kelim from the smallest to the largest, then you're assuming that even the Birutse Midos have Kedusha. Urevius Yavle Rachman Lamosha. And the reason we mention from smallest to largest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu a revius, right? Exactly revius halog, which is the smallest of the kelim. And he says, okay, now use this v'amalei l'sha'er and figure out all of the other midos to make kelim of the proper size. So now that you have a revius halog, you should be able to figure out how to make a chatzilog by measuring two revios out. Now, typically, when a person pours from a smaller kli to a larger kli, you could take you could overflow the smaller kli and just dump it into the larger kli without anything spilling out the sides, because the larger kli can handle that. So the Berutze Midos will be included. When Moshe Rabbeinu is using a smaller kli to measure out into a larger kli, he can really fill the smaller kli. And that's why Berutze Midos are included if you count from the smallest kli to the largest kli. The Ka'ayli Luhu Berutzin, that Moshe Rabbeinu was pouring the Berutzin into the larger kli in order to get to the proper sizes. But Laman Diyamar, Mimal Lamata, the opinion that holds, or Meir holds, that we count from the largest kli down to the smallest kli, Kasava Berutze Midos Lo Niskachu, will hold that Berutze Midos do not have Kedusha. The Hin Yahiv Le Rachman Lamoshe, Vam Le Sha'er Baha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the largest kli, a Hin, and said, okay, now figure out all of the smaller kelim. So, the Kanafki Berutzin, where Berutzin ran out of the picture, because he was telling him to make a Chatzi a Hin by pouring half of the contents of a hin into a smaller kli. When you pour from a larger kli into a smaller kli, you can't have the overflow. It's not going to pour properly. You have to have just what fits in the kli. So that's that. In that way, we exclude the beirutzin. So that's the whole machlokas in terms of just even the order that we list the seven kelim. Now, it should be pointed out, the Achronim point out, that when we say that there were seven liquid kelim in the Mikdash, it doesn't mean that there were only seven. It means there were seven types. Each type probably had many of them. You wouldn't have Kohanim waiting around, you know, taking a number, waiting till it was their turn to use the Chatzilog. It wouldn't make sense to do such a thing. And also, that would be the Ein Ani Yismakom Hashiras. Ein Anius Makom Hashiras Gadol Mizeh, right? That would be the worst Anius for Makom Hashiras. So Abayi, Amar Abayi says, no, we're misunderstanding the Machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Do Kuli Alma Berutze Midos Ikal Meimer Niskachu Vikal Meimer Lo Niskachu. It could be that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that Berutze Midos are Niskachu. It could be that they both agree that the Berutze Midos, the overflow of the Midos, are not Niskachu. That's not what they're arguing about. V'hacha B'Mileim Kamiflagi. They're arguing when the Torah says about the carbon of the Nesiim, that they were misnadev to the Chanukah Samizbeach in Parshas Naso, it says Shneim Mileim Soles. So Mandiam Ramilamalamata Kasav Mileim Shlo Yechsar Vishalo Yosir. What does Mile mean? Meaning, what are we being makbid about when you say, make sure it is Mile? So one opinion says, meaning Rav Meir, who counts the Shirei Amidos from the largest to the smallest, says Mile means it shouldn't be even a drop more or a drop less. It has to be exactly that amount. And the same is true, even though Maleim Solis is by Midas Yavesh, the same is true by the Midas Halach in the Mikdash, that you can't have Chaser or Yeser. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Midas Hin to measure out all of the smaller Midos exactly so, that when he pours from the Hin to two halves, it's going to be exactly a half a Hin in each. But Amandi Amar Mimata Lamaila, the one that Rabbi Yehuda, who counts the seven Kalim starting from the smallest going up, if you have any less, that would be a violation. That would not be called Mileim. But if you have any more, that's still called Mileim. So when you measure two revios and you metzarif them to a chatzilug, you'll always have a little bit more than an actual chatzilug that you would have had you just measured it on its own. Because each time you measure, you add a little bit onto the midah because you're afraid shemahichsir. You're afraid that maybe you're a little off, so you want to be a little bit generous. So when you measure out two revios. You have two revios plus in each revios. It's a little bit plus. So that's why you're going to get a little bit more. So that's how he says. That's how they would measure it out, and they would end up. Yeah, they'd end up with a little bit more, but that's okay. That's still a fulfillment of milayim. So Amar Mar, we had mentioned in the brisa that Rabbi Shimon Omer lo ayasham hin. They didn't need this large kli called a hin in the Migdash. What would they do with it? So it says Mar Shapar Gam Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. Pretty good taina. You know, you look through the Chumash. They never used a hin. They used a chatzi hin, but they never used an actual hin. So why would they have it? For Rabbanan have a hin to Avad Moshe l'shem namishcha. The Rabbanan would say no, that there was a midas hin that Moshe Rabbeinu made in order to measure out the shem namishcha. Meaning, what was the shem namishcha? That was the oil that was used to give kedusha to be Moshech the Mishkan, the Kelim, Aaron, Ubanav. So it was needed in that generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't needed in all the future generations, but that first time that they made shem namishcha, they made it in this large kli called a hin. Dechsev v'shem and zayis. Hin. So Mar Savar Kivan de Lahoros de Ladoros Loavatsaruch Vishah Hudavde Vignas. So Rabbi Shimon holds they didn't need it Ladoros, they only needed it that first generation. So they made it and then they put it into Geniza. Vidach Kivan the Hava. But the Chum hold, well, once it's there, why would you get rid of it? So they had that in the Migdash, and Mela, that counts as one of the Kelim that they had in the Migdash. Now it's interesting, they put it in Geniza, that implies that it has actual inherent Kedusha. Now, Kli Sharis during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara Masech Shavuos tells us, how did Kli Sharis become Kadosh? With the Shemen HaMishcha. They would have to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Now this is like a chicken egg thing, right? So this is the kli that they made the Shemen HaMishcha in. So it was obviously that Neskadesh with the Shemen HaMishcha. That's how they measured the Shemen HaMishcha. So you see that Mishichas Mekadshan is only that it should have full Kedusha of Klei Sharis. But even before that, it would already have enough Kedusha that it's Tom Geniza. So as the Mikdash Tov points out, there is, even in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there is an Inyan of Kedusha's peh. Just by calling it Kadosh, by giving it a shame Kedusha, it does something to it. It just doesn't bring it fully to the status of Kli Sharis until it's Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Amar Mar, we said in the Brisa, so Rabbi Shimon said they didn't have a hin, and because they didn't have a hin, he needed to have his seven kelim. So Ves Mi Avi Tachtav, what will I have instead of the hin? What's the seventh kli? So we said it was a logo mechza. So says Gemara, Lo Sagid Lo Ma'ayil. Why does he need seven kelim? Meaning, what is it about the number seven? So maybe they just didn't have a hin, and they had whatever they needed. They had the other six kelim. Why does he have to fill in the number seven? So says Gemara, Kedama Ravina, Kemiri. We have Halacha Moshe Misinai that there are two smichos that are done on Karbanos Tzibur, Dafka by the Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur and by the Sir Mishtalech, and that's it. Those are the only two Karbanos Tzibur that require smicha. So Hachanami Gemiri Teshav Midos Halacha Yibemikdash. They must have also had a tradition that there are seven midos of lach in the Mikdash, and therefore, if you're going to take away one of them, you're going to have to fill it in with something else. The Sefer Or Hayasha raises the obvious question, no answer, but the obvious question, you want to tell me there's halacha Moshe Misina that they needed seven kelim in the Mikdash? You don't have to like bring in this other halacha Moshe Misina about smicha. Ooh, you got to hear this new concept called halacha Moshe Misina. It even comes up once about smicha and karbanos hatzibur. There are dozens of halachas Moshe Misina. Why not say good love with dofen akuman? You could say any shiurim, kizayis, anything could be halacha Moshe Misina that you could use. Why dafka use this halacha Moshe Misina to demonstrate that this is called halacha Moshe Misina? The Gemara is generally not shy about saying gemiri. Yeah, this is part of a tradition that we have halacha Moshe Misina. Rav Lazar b'Tzadik, so I don't know what the answer is. Rav Lazar b'Tzadik Omer Shnasos Hayibehin that they didn't have separate kelim. They just marked off the spots on the large hinkli like you would have by a normal measuring cup. So says the Gemara, v'lasei sheva midos. What does he not hold that there need to be seven kelim? We just got through saying it's halacha Moshe Misina that you need seven kelim. So Gemara says, yeah, Leslie, he didn't have such a tradition. V'iba yisema, my sheva midos, sheva medidos. Or he would say that, no, he had the tradition that there have to be seven, but that there are seven lines on the clean, not that there are seven kelim. That was the nature of his tradition. Either way, he disagrees with the tradition, meaning he disagrees with the way that we initially interpreted the tradition, so it's worth mentioning that this would just be another example that we could put onto the Chavos Yair's long list of cases where you seem to have I didn't look at Chavos Yair, has it on his list, of cases where you have a machlokas on Halacha Moshe Misinai. Because the Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Perush Mishnayos that Halacha Moshe Misinai, you never find machlokas. And that's the greatest raya to how perfect our Masorah is, that when it comes to that, even though machlokas developed in a lot of other things, Halacha Moshe Misinai, there was never anything to question because there's no interpretation in Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's just, it is. That's our Masorah. It was just handed down. So he says you're never going to find a machlokas by Halacha Moshe Misinai. Problem is, we always find machlokas by Halacha Moshe Misinai. Chavizar has a long tshuva where he goes through not like two or three, like dozens and dozens of places where we find the machlokas by Halacha Moshe Misinai. There's no way the Rambam missed all of them, meaning there's got to be a teretz. So the Netziv, in his commentary in his Hakdama to the commentary on the She'iltos, the Netziv wrote a long commentary on the She'iltos. He wrote on a lot of different things, including the commentary on the She'iltos is the only reason anyone ever opens up a She'iltos nowadays. It's very hard to read a She'iltos, but people like it for the Netziv, because the Netziv has a lot to say. So the Netziv wrote it in three volumes, and he wrote three Hakdamas, one for each volume. So now each Hakdama is like 20 pages long. Now they're all published at the beginning, so it's like 60 pages of Hakdama. So in the beginning of the first Hakdama, so that's why everyone knows this, that's how far you get. In the beginning of the first Hakdama to his commentary on the She'iltos, he writes that the Rambam must have had a different understanding of when the Gemara was actually saying Halacha Moshe Misinai. That the word Gemiri, for example, or even Hilchasa Gemiri La, does not necessarily mean Halacha Moshe Misinai. It means that we have a long-standing tradition. It could be from the days of the early Tanaim, but it just means that we can't trace it back to how we know it. But so we use the term Gemiri, but when the Gemara means Halacha Moshe Misinai, it will actually say Halacha Moshe Misinai. But short of that, it's not really Halacha Moshe Misinai. Right? That's in Baba Kama. You have Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. So you have Machlokas about Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. So the Gemara says, but Chatzi Nezek Tzroros is Halacha Gemiri La. The fact that Regel, an animal, stam walks and he's tramples on something and he breaks something, so you pay Nezek Shalim. But if he was walking normally and a pebble shoots out from under his foot and hits something and breaks it, Chatzi Nezek. So where does that come from? So Halacha Hilchsa Gemiri La. So, but there's a machlokas of a Chatzi Nezek Shoros. Yeah, so that's what the Nesiv explains. So you have to say Hilchsa Gemiri La does not mean the way Rashi translates it throughout Shas, Halacha Moshe Misinai, and that's what we're so accustomed to translate it that way. It just means that it's a long-standing tradition. Okay, so says the Mishnah now. Now that we know all these seven kelim that they had for liquid measures, what do they use them for? So revius mayim mishameshes, revius mayim lemitzora. They need a revius of water for the mitzora, for the carbon of the mitzora, because when the mitzora goes through his tara process, he shechts tzipor achas el kli cheres al mayim chayim. The Torah says so. He shechts the bird, and the blood goes on mayim chayim. And the Gemara says Masechta Sota that it has to be mayim that dama tzipor is nicker. So how much mayim would a bird doesn't have that much blood. So how much mayim would it be that the blood of a bird would be recognizable in the mayim? So it would be a revius halug. So that's what the revius was for. A revius shemen the nazir. A revius was also to measure out the shemen the nazir needed for the chalos and rakikim that he would bring on the completion upon the completion of his nazirus. Because it says sal matzo solus chalos plus b'shemen rakikim matzo meshuchim b'shemen that he had to bring and on the completion of his nazirus. So there would be a revius halog of shemen. Chatzi log mayim shamish. What would they use the chatzi log for? Chatzi log mayim l'sota. The sota would drink the waters that with the mechikas hashem in the waters. How much water was it? It was a chatzi log of water that they would erase. The shem hashemen. The chatzi log shemen l'toda. And chatzi log was also used to measure the amount of oil you needed for the types of matzah in the karban toda. The chalos, the rikik, and the revucha, which are the types of matzah in the karban toda. Of course, there was also the chametz of the toda, but the chatzilog was needed for the matzos of the toda. Belog hayimodeid lekala menachos. What would they do with the whole log? That was for every other karban mincha. That every sarin of solus that they brought for a mincha required a log of shemen. Vafilu mincha shel shishim isaron. And even if you decided to bring a gigantic karban mincha of 60 esronim, it still only needed a log. Now, why do we mention 60? Because the Mishnah is going to tell us later on time that you never had more than 60. More than 60, it would not be nivlal properly. It wouldn't get mixed in with the log of Shem properly. The ratios would be so off. And that's why that's where the principle comes from. Kol aroy lebila in bila ma'akevispo, kol she'in aroy lebila bila ma'akevispo. That if it's more than 60 asrondim of flour and only one log of shemen, you would never be able to do the blila. It wouldn't properly mix the oil and the flour. And therefore, the carbon would be possible. So, vafil milcha shel shishim isaron nosin la shishim log. I'm sorry, they would put in according to the Tanakhama, they would put in shishim log. Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov amar vafil milcha shel shishim isaron ein la ela luga. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says what we were saying, that it's always one log of shemen, even if you have 60 asronim. Shneamar the milcha the log shemen, because the pasuk says for whatever your size of your carbon milcha is, it's always a log shemen. That every milcha is only going to be one log of shemen. Shisha lapar va'arba'a la'ayil u'shlosha lekeves. Meaning, going through the measurements, the Mishnah is going through from the smallest to the largest what they were used for. So we got through log. So what we should be moving on to is a shlishasehin, a revi'asehin, a shlishasehin, and a chatzihin. So that's in fact what we're doing. We say shlisha, shisha means, but now we're going in the other order. Now we're going from largest to smallest. Shisha means six log. Six log is a chatzihin, because remember, a hin is 12 times a log. So shisha is a chatzihin that they would use for the minchas nesachim of a par. Arba'a, which is a shlishasehin, that was used for the ayil, that the nesachim of Shlosha, which is a revias ahin, Shlosha Lugin is a revias ahin, that was lekeves. Shlosha umechza lemenorah chatzi log lekol ner. There were 3.5 login required for the lighting of the menorah, because there were 7 neros in the menorah, and each ner required a chatzi log. So Yosef Rebbe v'kakashalei revias lamanim shecha. So Rebbe was bothered, why is it that we needed to do a meshicha, of a revias halog, of a kli that held the Revias Halog in the Mikdash. What did it need to be holy for? If it was for the Revias Mayim of a Mitzorah, Chutzu, the Tar of the Mitzorah was done outside of the Machane, so there's no reason to be Mekadish the Mayim that you're gonna use in the process in a Kli Shares. V'i Nazir, and if it's because of the Revias Shemen that you need for the Lechem of the Nazir, that you have to measure in a Kli Shares to be Mekadish, and that will be Mekadish the Lechem that you're going to mix with this Shemen. So that shouldn't be necessary, because lechem nazir b'shchitas ayil u'dekadosh. The lechem nazir is anyway kadosh with the shchit of the ayil, so you don't need shemen that is kadosh in order to be makdish the lechem of the nazir. So what do you need to? Why is it that the revias, given the function of the revias halog that the Mishnah told us, it doesn't seem that there's any reason that it has to be kadosh? So amalei Rabbi Chiya sheba yemodi lechavite koyin gadol. They would use it to measure out the 3 log of shemen for the 12 chalas of the Kohen Gadol, Revi Shemen, the Kol Chal V'Chala, because remember, there were 3 log for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, but the Chavite Kohen Gadol involved 12 pieces, 12 loaves. So you divide 3 by 12, and you get a revias for each one. So Kari Alei, so Rebbe said about Rebbe Chia, ah, me eretz merchak ish atzasi. And Rebbe Chia came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and he's enlightened me, he's given me this great wisdom. So that pasuk is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's really talking about Avram Avinu, that Hashem took him from Eretz Aram, which is distant from Eretz Yisrael, in order to talk with him and to be Shoal Eitzah Kaviyachal about the Galuyos of Klal Yisrael. That's how the Medrash understands the Pasuk. But he's applying this Pasuk to Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia was a Talmud Chaver of Rebbe. The Gemara has an expression, I forget where, but the Gemara in places says that if Rebbe didn't say it, then Rebbe Chia wouldn't know it. Meaning that that Rebbe Chia was a Talmud of Rebbe, so he would never have known something without Rebbe. But over here you see that no, not always. Sometimes Rebbe Chia did add something to the conversation, and that's why Rebbe is the one that says in Maseches Makos, Harbe Torah lemadeti mirabosai mechaveira yoser mehem umitalmidai yoser mikulam. So he understood the principle of a Talmud Chaver, having a Talmud Chaver, someone who taught as a Talmud, but ends up being someone who's able to teach teach you a lot of Torah. It's one of the great joys of chinuch. Like you think, when I was younger, I used to think chinuch was just it was nice because you're teaching Torah all day. But when you get to see the talmidim that are able to teach you back more than you were ever able to teach them, that's pretty good. That's a pretty nice. Okay, so anyway, so that Rebbe enjoyed that nachas from his talmid. So chatzilog mahay meshamish. What did they do with chatzilog of mayim for the? So we said, what did they do? They made a mayim for the sota, chatzilog of shemen for the carbon toda. So Yosef Rebbe v'kakashale, Rebbe was bothered. Chatzilog lama nimshach. I understand why it's practical function, but I don't understand why it had to be holy. E sota, what for the waters of the sota? V'chichulin hu detzrichu lekedusha. Where you think that water was chulin to begin with, that they needed to be to make it kadosh in this kli? Mayim kadoshim ksiv. They took mayim kadoshim anyway. They were mekadesh the mayim from in the kiyor. So they didn't need it to be kadosh in this kli. And e toda, and if it's to be mekadesh the shemen that they're going to mix with the lachme toda, so that didn't need to be kadosh either, because lachme toda b'shchitas toda dekadshi. The lachme toda are anyway going to become holy when they shech the korban toda. So amalei Rabbi Shimon b'Rebbe, shaboyim achalik chatzilog shemen, l'kol never ner. Now the chatzilog was very important because that's how they would divide up the oil for each of the neros in the menorah. Amar lo, ner Yisrael kachaya. So he compliments him, you are the ner Yisrael, Rabbi says to his son Rabbi Shimon. That is in fact what it was. Now he calls him the ner Yisrael of all compliments. Tosos points out over here in Dibra Maskel ner Yisrael that there are two times that Rebbe calls his son Rebbe Shimon the name Ner Yisrael over here in Masech Sarach and Daf Yud, where Rebbe wonders about the Molar Halavana that appears off Cheshbon, and Rebbe Shimon explains the Molar Halavana. So by both of those cases, it had to do with something that provides light, with some sort of luminary. Over here it's the menorah, over there it's the Levana. So that's why of all the compliments, he calls him the Ner Yisrael, the one that gives light to Israel. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rebbe, ner shekavsa. So if you have a ner in the menorah that gets extinguished, let's say halfway through the night or before daylight, nitshan Hashem and nitshan psila. Just like the psila becomes deshen, the liquid becomes like ash because it's already singed by being lit. So too the shemen that remains in the ner also becomes deshen in the sense that you're not allowed to use it anymore. So ketzado. So what do? Mativa. You clean out the ner that's extinguished. You remove the psila and the old shemen, v'nosim b'shemen amadlika, and you put in fresh shemen, fresh psila, and you relight it. Yosef Rabbi Zreka v'kami ba'ileis. Rabbi Zreka raised the following shayla: k'shu nosim b'shemen k'mida rishona o k'mosha chasra. When you put shemen in, how much more should you put in? Should you put in a full chatzilog, meaning just as if you were lighting it at the beginning of the night, even though it's halfway through the night, you're not going to need the chatzilog because it already has been lit for after. It just got extinguished prematurely. So you're refilling it. So do you still put in the full amount or just whatever is missing because whatever you need for the rest of the night? So it has to be kamida rishona because if it's just the amount that you need, how are you going to know how much has already burnt up? Maybe we'll say, well, just measure whatever you're pouring out, whatever is becoming dashen. No, because every measuring cup in the Mikdash was one of those seven, and you would have to have for every for every possibility of how much shemen was left, you'd have to have another measuring cup. So Kari Alei, so he said to Rabbi Yirmia, he said about Rabbi Yirmia, v'hadrach slach rechava al dvar emes. That your hadar and your hatzlacha of a Talmud Chacham is that you're mechavin tamita shel Torah and you say everything correctly. So he was meshabeach Rabbi Yirmia that he achieved such a great maila. Itmar nami amar Rabbi Yevo amar Rabbi Yochanan va'amila amar Rabbi Abba amar Rabbi Chanina amar Rabbi Ner Shekavsa nitshan Hashem and nitshan apsila. So ketzadosa, what do? If both the shemen and the psila become deshen and therefore can no longer be used, metiva v'nosim Hashemen kemid. The Rishona, it adds in, can be the Rishona, umadlika. You refill it, but how do you refill it? With the full amount of oil that you would have put in at the beginning of the night, and then you relight it. Amar of Hunabred of Yudamar of Sheshes, Ner Shabimikdash shall prakim hava. The actual Ner that they use on top of the menorah, the Ner is just the piece that actually holds the oil and the wick on the very top of the menorah. The menorah had many parts, had the kanim and the gvios and the kaftorim and the prakim, but it has the Ner at the very top. It's just the part that holds the oil and the wick. So the ner of the mikdash was shel prakim. What does that mean? That it was they were bendable, as if they were made. It's ki'ilu, they were made from different pieces that could be put together, so that you could easily bend them over to clean out the neros properly at the time that they needed to be cleaned out, and to put them back in place at the time that they needed to be lit. So the Gemara explains, kasavar kiksiv kikar umiksha amenora v'nerosaksiv. When the Torah says kikar zahav tahor ya'aseh osa, that the menorah has to be out of a solid kikar of zahav tahor, it means that the neros also, together with the menorah, are made from that same one chaticha of gold. So the neros are included in that, and therefore they have to be part of the menorah. But you do need to clean them out, so they do need to be somewhat flexible so that you're able to get to them to clean them out properly. So I asked the Gemara on Rav Sheshes, Kate Sadosa, the Brisa says, how would they clean out the Neros? Misalkon, they would remove the Neros from the menorah. Umanichon ba'ol, and they put them in the oil, in the Mikdash. Umakanchon besvog, and they would clean them out with a sponge. Vinosim ben shemen, umadligon, and then they would put new oil in them and light them. So it's mufurish in the Brisa that it wasn't miksha achas with the menorah, that they would remove the Neros from the menorah. Says the Gemara, Hudamer, ki etan, Rav Sheshes holds like the following Brisa. Titanya chacham, loyim esizin osamim kam. The Chacham disagreed. The Chacham said, no, they couldn't move it. It was stuck in place. That it sounds that if they wanted to move it, they would have been able to. So you see that it's not Miksha Achas. Meaning, don't tell me that price is a riot to Rav Sheshes, that they left it in place. Ah, so you see it's Miksha Achas. No, by saying that they left it in place, that implies that physically that was not necessarily so. Just halachically they leave it in place. But that it would have been something that's movable. So we have to change it. Not that lo hayu mazizino sami makoma, that they happen to have not moved it, but lo hayso zaza mi makoma, it couldn't move from its place. It was stuck in place. Man chachamim, and who are the chachamim that are mentioned in the Brisa? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, who the Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik Omer, kimintas shel zav hayila al gaba, that the top of the ner where they put the oil, it wasn't just like a pool of oil that was exposed. They had a golden plate that went on top of the ner to cover the oil. It had a little hole in it so you could pour the oil through this golden plate, but that's what they had. They had like a golden disc on top, where that would cover up the oil on top of the ner. Kishumativa, and when they needed to clean out the menorah, dochko klapepia, they slid the disc over toward the mouth of the ner, because the ner came to sort of like a narrow end. It was round, and then it came toward a narrow end, like the end of a boat, comes to a narrow end. So they slid it toward that direction when they needed to clean out the ner itself. Kshunosin vashemen, dochko klapeirosha, and when they put oil, when they refilled it with the oil, then they put the disc back in place, and that's how they refilled it. The Brisos that disagree whether they removed the Neros from the menorah in order to clean them out is actually Machlokas Tanaim in the following Brisa. Titania, menorah v'neroseha, bos minakikar, ve'ein milkachel machtoseha minakikar. What was made from that solid piece? The menorah and the ner, but not the milkachel machtoseha. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, menorah isaba minakikar, that only the menorah was from that kikar, that solid piece of gold, but the neros were not from that solid piece of gold. So, what are they in fact arguing about? They're arguing how to touch up a pasuk. Titania, the Brisa says, it says by the menorah kikar zavtar, yase osa, so lamanu the menorah shaba mina kikar. Now you see that the menorah is made from this kikar. Minayin the rabbis neroseha, how do I know that neros are also from the kikar? Tamalomar, eis kala kelim ha'ela. So that includes the neros. Yachol shanimar ba'af malkachel machtoseha. So I might think that the malkachel machtoseha, the kelim that they used to clean it out, tamalomar osa. That's why it says osa, to exclude malkachel machtoseha. But the neros are part of the menorah according to Rabbi Nechemia. Says Mar Kasha to Rabbi Nechemia, ad Rabbi Nechemia. It's a stira in Rabbi Nechemia because he says they are part of it, but in the brisa that we quoted previously, he said that they were not part of it. So treitanai valib is Rabbi Nechemia. That we have all the time. It's a machlokes tanaim what Rabbi Nechemia holds. Rabbi Shuman Karcha Omer, the brisa continues. Rabbi Shuman Karcha disagrees. Menorah ba menakikar ve'im malkachel machtoseha.
nerus el ba min a kikar. The nerus are amongst those things that are not part of the kikar. The alamani mekayim is kol kelim eila shayu kelim shel zav. Why does it say kol kelim eila? That even the other kelim were made out of gold, but not from that kikar, not from that piece of gold. So says Mar Sadia behedik zav behedik sivbo. I already know it has to be made out of zav. Vasisas nerusa shiva velas nerusa veira alaver panel umakachel machtosa zav tahor. So lo nitzcha ela lefi neros. Now the edge of the neros where the fire is lit. Salkadai dechamina haul pi neros ashkuri mashker hatorah chas almonim shel Yisrael v'la avid zav koldu. I might have thought that since the edge of the neros where the fire is lit, it would get blackened by the fire, so the Torah should be chas almonim shel Yisrael, and you shouldn't have to use pure gold. You should use a much lower quality gold. So kamash malan that you still even make that part out of pure gold. So maybe Belshem tomorrow we'll discuss a little bit about that inyan of hatorah chasa al mamonim shal Yisrael and when we acquire it. Okay, but we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.